Blog Talk Radio.
The music is sounding good. It's sounding good. Let me turn it back up again for just a second because it is sounding too good. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the program. This is LSEC Publishing Radio, and I am your host, Teresa Banks. And I don't know about you, but I just needed a little extra dose there of music, so that's why I had to just play a little bit more of that tune. And I don't know, it just kind of re-energized me a little bit here this morning. So I don't know where you are and where you may be listening to this program, but if you are in Mumbai, India, where some of my buddies are, I've been hearing back from that are listening, hello to you. It is evening there. If you are in Dallas, Texas, hello to you. Chicago, Illinois, my friends over in Philly, my buddies out in California, it is just good to be talking to actually all of you across the country of the United States and abroad. So welcome, welcome, welcome. And I will be talking about one of my greatest subjects of all that I love to talk about, and that's Toastmasters International. So kick back, relax, and I hope you enjoy the show. Now, in regards to this organization, Toastmasters International, their main purpose is to help individuals improve their speaking, leadership, and listening abilities. And I have to say that it is one of the best organizations that I've seen around. If you go over to the website, toastmasters.org, you'll be able to find out answers to just about any question that you may have, as well as be able to find a club that's closest to you. Now, the organization is worldwide. It is definitely in various cities, and it meets different times of the week and various times of the day. And visiting, I tell you, is always so much fun, and 9 times out of 10, it's free of charge. And I say 9 times out of 10 because usually there is no charge at all, but some clubs are set up with what they may have as their specific rules. And then also there are clubs that are considered closed clubs, like you may have clubs that are in certain office buildings. Like I was visiting a club recently for officer training. And when I went to the club, it is considered a closed club because it meets within one of the federal bank buildings in downtown Chicago, and only the employees that work at that particular site can actually become members. If you are a member of another club, you can visit, but not like an outsider who's just off the street and looking to join a club. So certainly as you are taking a look at the Toastmasters.org website and you're trying to find a club, ignore all the ones that say that it's closed unless you work at that specific company, for example, and check out all the rest and certainly take a visit because I think it will be memorable, it'll be educational, and you will never forget it. Now, let me give you a little background information in regards to why I joined Toastmasters International. It was actually way back in April of 1999 that I became a member. But what triggered me looking for such an organization actually happened in February of 1999. It was during Black History Month, and I was working at an insurance company that's located in downtown Chicago at the time. And my manager had asked me to participate in a Black History Month celebration. And the purpose was for all of us that are African American to put on presentations, to bring our food, to bring our artwork, and to celebrate and let those that we work with learn more about our culture. And so my role was not only to bring a dish, but to pick out a poem, and it could be any type of poem that I wanted, but my manager asked that it be written by an African American. So I thought, okay, let me pick something out, and reading this shouldn't be an issue. She didn't have a problem with me bringing up notes. And so I prepared myself. I searched the internet. I read books that I have of different works of poetry, and I tried to find something that I thought was of a suitable length and that I could present to coworkers that wouldn't be offensive and that wouldn't break any company policy rules, if you will. And I made a selection, and I was ready for that particular day. And what I didn't realize until a couple of weeks before the event was that not only were the coworkers within our little department invited to this thing, but everyone within the building was invited, and I'm not going to say which company it is, but this particular company had two buildings attached to it at the time. So anyone within those two buildings of the insurance company could attend. And since it was occurring across a lunch period, all of us as employees were told if we had family and friends in the area that they could come to the event as well. So suddenly, before even the day being upon me, my nerves were starting to get the best of me. And I thought, oh, man, am I going to be able to pull this off and stand in front of all these different people now and read off this poem and not drop to the floor? So, needless to say, the day came. My manager called my name, and I had to step up to the podium and stand behind the podium itself and speak into a microphone in front of a huge audience. Hundreds of people were there on a particular floor, conference room floor. And I looked out into that audience, and I tell you, my eyes immediately started playing tricks on me. It felt as if the room was starting to expand to that of the size of a football field. And I began going through my pages, and like I have a piece of paper here in front of me, and I could just feel myself shaking, like you hear the sounds more than likely of this paper. My right leg started to shake. And to try to steady myself, I put my arms up on the sides of the podium, and now the podium itself began to rock. And as I began reading off line by line of this poem, I could hear the quivering coming across through my voice. But somehow I made it through reading the entire poem with all those eyeballs staring back at me and leaving the stage and having a number of coworkers and various people I didn't know say to me as I took the elevator ride back to my floor that I had done a great job. And of course, I knew within my heart that I wanted to collapse, use the bathroom on myself, something. But I knew I had not done as well as I believed that they were saying that I had. So as the weeks followed, I decided enough was enough. I had had this fear too long. If I had learned how to drive, I could learn how to become a better speaker. If I had learned how to function in the world of IT, being information technology, I could certainly improve my speaking abilities. So I joined one organization called NASA, the National African American Speakers Association. And with them, maybe you had the opportunity to speak a couple of times a year, but it wasn't enough for me. I felt like I needed more. So I did additional searching on the internet, and that's how I came across Toastmasters International. And as a visitor, I attended a few meetings, and then in April of 1999 was when I officially joined. And then meeting after meeting, I stepped up to the lectern that we had, and just a quick difference between the two. When you talk about a podium, it's typically, it looks like a lectern, but it's typically something that's placed up to a stage or on a stage. So you're actually stepping up, walking onto a stage, and stepping behind a podium. Whereas a lectern looks more like what you may see in a classroom, where it has like a little stand and may be leaning forward a little bit so you can rest papers on it. So that's typically what's inside of the general meeting rooms. So I would stand up behind the lecterns and give my little presentations. And as the months went by, I really saw myself improve. And so through this organization, Toastmasters International, the way the program itself works is that there are agendas that are prepared by the members, for the members, and for the visitors, and they're executed directly as you see stated there within, obviously, the agenda. And there are different time frames associated with the different tasks that you need to wrap things up within. And then as you're participating in this agenda, you find yourself improving. So a part of the agenda, for example, may be that you have a number of individuals that have prepared speeches. The first speech for everyone throughout the organization is called the icebreaker, and it's generally about 4 to 5 minutes long, and you're just introducing yourself to members. You're just talking about yourself. And so with this icebreaker speech, as you give it, again, you're now improving your speaking abilities. And then as you go from one speech to the next, and every new member has 10 speeches that they go through at their own pace. And as you go through each one, there are different things you have to do that further helps you improve. Like the next speech may be a minute or so long, and it may ask you to work with your hands. And then the speech after that may ask you to work with using different types of words. And then the next one may say use props, like, for example, to bring in pictures or to bring in, I don't know, if you're talking about food, for example, maybe a pie or something. So you're using different props and arranging your speech accordingly. But by doing so, what you find is that you truly do improve. There's another area of the meeting that I love that further helps you with your speaking, and it's called table topics. And you always have people at work, friends, family, whomever, that may come up to you and ask your opinion about something. And with table topics, it helps you improve your impromptu speaking. And what happens is you'll have a person called the table topics master that has composed a list of questions, maybe 5 or 6, for example, maybe questions and maybe topics or subject matters. And when they come to the meeting, they will ask you to speak on one of those items, and they'll just randomly pick you from the audience. So they may say, for example, maybe a topic or a subject matter may be, are you ready for winter? And then they may say, James, step up and talk to us about that. And, of course, James isn't prepared. You know, he's completely caught off guard. But he'll walk up, and the table topics are 1 to 2 minutes long, and he will just talk about winter during that time frame. And, again, it helps you with your impromptu speaking. And you're hearing individuals from all walks of life, from diverse backgrounds that are speaking, so you're learning as well as growing. I mean, you're improving your speaking as well as learning about whatever their craft is, whomever they are as a person. So you really get to grow at these meetings as well. Now, I had mentioned early on that Toastmasters also helps you with your leadership and your listening abilities as well. And I had said that I actually went to a club recently that was a closed club, and it was in the federal building for officer training. Well, on the leadership side, you have the opportunity to take on an officer role, and that's what helps you with your leadership abilities. So when I went to the training a few months ago, I'm currently a club officer, and my title is Vice President of Public Relations, and my role is to publicize the club and its meeting dates and times, and to make sure the public as well as the members are informed of what's going on. So I went to training to learn more about how I could better do that role. And during officer training, you're given different tips, different suggestions, different areas of the website back on Toastmasters.org that you can check out to further grow yourself as an officer to help out the club. So that's just one of several different roles you can take on. You may feel that you're ready to be the secretary, to be one who keeps the minutes and who tracks everything that goes on in the club. Or you're ready to take on the role of treasurer so that as individuals pay their club dues, and those are usually paid twice a year, very nominal fee. And you may be the one who keeps track of that, all of the monies that come in to the club and then how they're spent back out. Or you may be the individual who's really good when people come in and it kind of boosts their spirits and welcome them to the club itself on a given day, and that role would be under vice president of membership. Or you may want to serve as vice president of education. That particular person handles the setup of the agendas. Or sergeant at arms. That particular role, you are kicking the meeting off. You're making sure that the room is set up, that all of the agendas are laid out, that if there's a club banner, that it is displayed, and you're sounding the gavel and getting that meeting kicked off as well as wrapping it up at the very end. So there are a number of different things that you can do to certainly improve your leadership skills as well. And then when it comes to listening, I mean, I think most of us probably have a spouse or a boyfriend or someone that we wish or, you know, I shouldn't pick on the guys, maybe even ourselves, where we need to improve our listening abilities, because I know I certainly do. Sometimes I'm not concentrating on something as well as I should. And there are different areas during the Toastmasters meetings where you can improve your listening skills as well. Now, at the particular club I go to, and most of the clubs have this, evaluations. Anytime someone gives a prepared speech, they get feedback, very gentle critiques on how well they did and areas they can improve on. And in order to give that, you need to be a careful and an attentive listener. So that truly helps you with your listening abilities. And then some clubs have something, a role, I mean, it may have a different name to it. In our club, it's called the Hearmaster. And what that particular person does is they listen throughout the entire meeting, and they jot down a couple of questions based on different things that are said throughout the meeting. And to see how well each person's really paying attention and focused and listening, they will read back some questions, and then you're expected to respond. So perhaps, let's say, during the meeting, someone said that they graduated from DePaul University. At the very end, the Hearmaster would get up and they would say something like, where did Sarinda, let's say is her name, where did Sarinda graduate? And then you have to think back. I mean, it could have been all the way back from the first portion of the meeting, and you're trying to think of what this lady said, right? And then it may come to you, it may not, but, of course, the answer would be DePaul University, and you'd hope that you are a good listener. Sometimes I'm busy taking notes or thinking about how I may need to balance my checkbook or something. So as a result, I have found myself to not be a very good listener. So I am still working on myself, certainly, in that area. But overall, what you really learn through the organization of Toastmasters International is that it tends to certainly build self-esteem. I mean, it will boost a member's confidence, and it will certainly help improve all of the different skills that I mentioned, the listening skills, leadership skills, and certainly the speaking skills. And then, you know, membership has its privileges. It's not just all about going to your one club's meeting. As a Toastmaster, you can then visit other clubs, or you can go to different educational sessions that are held throughout the year. You can participate in different contests. There are different contests, for example, like a humorous speech contest where you prepare a speech and then you compete. And, of course, It must have some humor in it. That would give you those brownie points to win. Or the evaluation contest, as I said, that there are members that give their speeches and then they have to be evaluated. So a contestant in the evaluation speech contest would hear what we call a target speaker give a speech for a number of minutes. And then three or four people that are in the competition for the evaluation speech, they would then evaluate that person one at a time. They're not in the same room listening to each other's evaluations, but they're outside of the room and they come in one at a time and evaluate. And it's really interesting to hear their several different critiques. And then with the educational sessions, I mean, they're outstanding. I mean, as if you're not getting enough just attending the club and going through the agenda and being a participant on that agenda so you can improve yourself, you can go off, as I've already mentioned, to the officer training. But outside of that, as a member at the area level, the division level, and the district level, there may be other different training sessions that can further help you improve different skills. Or again, as I said, people are also talking passionately about some other subject matter that they are really good at as well. For example, I was at an educational session and I talked on the subject matter of how one can write a book. And so you not only have the typical information that you get about speaking, listening, leading, but you get that bonus thing where you can learn something different if you come to my session, and that's in regards to writing a book. So I highly encourage those of you that may have had a fear of public speaking for a really long time. You know, there's always been that cliche out there that people have a greater fear of speaking in public than they do of flying. I highly encourage you to get out there and to seek a club. And if you don't have the funds right now to pay for it, just go visit. Just go check it out and sit in because you will certainly benefit that way as well. And I tell you, if you listen to a lot of people just basically that talk, you may hear them with a lot of ums in their conversation, or you may hear a lot of uhs, you may hear a lot of just blank little filler words or long pauses, and you may hear that even with professionals or politicians, people that should kind of know better, right, because they speak all the time. And you could become one that really can get rid of all of that so that you can sound smooth when you talk and more direct when you speak. What you'll also find is that you will meet some of the best people on the planet. And, I mean, I've been in since 1999 and I've met business owners, of course, a number of different authors, people that are just self-published, some that are running their own businesses, doing their own things, working for companies or that are self-employed. And it's just really amazing, all the people that you meet and, more importantly, that are willing to help you along the way. So, again, check out Toastmasters. If you are in the Chicagoland area, you can go directly to the District 30 website to check out Toastmasters there as well. You can also drop me an email if you have any questions at mailtobanks@aol.com. It's spelled M-A-I-L, the number 2, B as in boy, A-N-K-S, at aol.com. And the District 30 website is D30, that's D as in dog, the number 3 and 0, toastmasters.org. And I know they were working on a new website, so I may redirect you to the updated site at this time, but certainly check it out, and you will not be steered wrong. Now, before I wrap up today's show, I am so excited. I'm excited to let you all know that coming up in just a few days, November 5th, is my first anniversary show of being on Blog Talk Radio. And I tell you, you know, you always hear time flies. Time has really flown because it feels just like yesterday that on November 5th, 2010, I was announcing that I was going to be on the air and not just talking about publishing, but talking about a variety of different subjects. And since then, I've kept true to my word. I have had various guests on, anywhere from broadcasters to different authors to Santa Claus himself. I have had different subject matters that have been anywhere from live in a particular state or city, like Florida and Mississippi, to talking about weight loss, to talking about reality shows, to my more recent one, talking about shows that are on the Oprah Winfrey Network. So it has just been a blast so far. So I hope you will join me on November 5th, 2011, as I celebrate my first year anniversary. The show will start at 9 o'clock in the morning until 9:30, and I hope you'll just dial in or just tune in a little bit later if you want to check out the archived version of the show, because I am sure already it's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to do that particular show. Now, as I leave you, I have to leave you with words of thanks again. So many of you have dropped me warm messages, whether it be through email or a cell phone, just to let me know you're out there listening. I appreciate it. And to let me know of different programs you'd like to hear or people you'd like to hear. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for that. The holidays are quickly coming upon us. I wish you a happy Halloween, a happy Thanksgiving, and a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And I know I will be looking forward to doing some shows between now and a lot of those holidays I mentioned, Lord willing. I want to remind you, too, that all of my books are out there on Amazon.com, so certainly swing by and get your copies of Becoming a Published Author, Woman of Integrity, Barrenhood, and Surviving a Layoff. And I have additional titles that I'm working on releasing in 2012. Can't believe we are almost at that particular year. So I tell you, with all that said, I hope on this Friday that you're doing well and that you are in the greatest of health, that you're not letting these crazy, hectic days that are making up days of our life stress you out too bad, that you're taking some deep breaths and smelling some roses along the way. Have a blessed and a wonderful weekend. Until we speak again or type again, take care all. Like up out your chair stretching or something. Let's turn it back up, shall we? Bye-bye, folks.